I never had a plum or tuna fish.
Baby, no!
Let me try some new exciting dish.
Baby, no!
Bok choy, collard greens, pad thai. So many foods I haven't tried. I'm kinda scared to eat them. I won't lie!
Welcome to Baby Mouth. I'm Jimmy Smagula. Follow the podcast at Baby Mouth Pod on Instagram and Twitter. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at Jimmy Smagula. You can write into the podcast at babymouthpodcast@gmail.com. If this is your first time listening, thank you for joining me on this journey. You know, I'm 45 years old. My mother kind of fed me the same foods every year. And then when I finally got out of her house, I didn't really explore many other foods. So I'm now 45 and never had a plum. I've never had any kind of sushi. And this week, for the first time, I'm going to have boba, which frankly, I thought was some kind of a root vegetable that you put in a stew. Now, I know that I've heard of bubble tea before, but I didn't know those were like the same thing. I guess they are. I'm not quite sure. But it looks pretty good. There's like black balls on the bottom of this orange drink. I don't know if I'm supposed to mix the balls. Are they going to dissipate or what? Do they stay as a ball? Do you eat the balls? I don't know. We're going to find out what to do with these black balls. But there's no one better to help me to figure out what to do with black balls than my guest this week. I know I say this a lot, but truly, I adore this human being. She wrote for Stephen Colbert for years and years. She's his announcer. She was on many sketches. I mean, the guy has used and abused this woman as long as he could for years. He's gotten everything he can. He squoze every inch of comedy out of this gal. And now she has a new book that is taking the world by storm. People love this book. I have given it to friends. They cannot stop talking about how funny the book is. I have read the book. It's hilarious. It's called Big Time. Please welcome my big time guest, Jen Spira. Jen, welcome to Baby Mouth.
Jimmy, thank you so much for that intro. I was just clapping and davening. I was like rocking back and forth. I was so happy. I'm just rocking.
I'm so glad you're here. You also are someone who has, I would say, I mean, I've been your friend for like maybe 3 or 4 years. We've known each other for that long.
And yes, four, Jimmy.
Four years. We're going four. All right. We're going four. But you have a unique relationship to food.
I really do. And, you know, I was reflecting on this today because actually I was similar. I feel like I was Jimmy Baby Mouth when I started college.
Really?
Yes. And I mean, because you're right. I'm very specific about food. And I like to go all out and I have specific tastes. But when I started college, I really was you. Like, I hadn't had a mango. I hadn't had an avocado.
I'm shocked.
I hadn't had bubble tea and I hadn't had a gajillion things. And so bubble tea was one of these things that I had when my mind, your baby mouth that you're doing at around 40.
Around 40 something.
I did when I was 18 at Barnard.
So growing up, did your mom and dad, your family, not eat a wide variety of foods? Charney, your mother, who I adore.
Oh, God, I know. You love Charney.
I mean, you think I have a lot of personality. You have not met Jen Spira's mother, Charney. This woman walks in the room, and it's as if a 5,000-watt spotlight has hit her. She is greeting people. It's like there's no one. I mean, I think I met her once or twice at your wedding in Pittsburgh, and I will never forget this woman.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited for her to hear this. She's going to freaking love this. She remembers you and adored you. So obviously game recognized, game there. But no, it's funny. So of course, Charney, incredibly sophisticated and chic, has a palate that would go along with that. But it's more that Charney and my dad were so laissez-faire. I, from 5 years old on, designed my own menu. I made my dinner. I did everything. They basically, my parents just are lawyers who worked really late. And yes. I was always left to my own devices. And so that is where my specific desires came from, because I always made my own. I decided what I ate and had extreme attachments to food. And so Wow. then I didn't try a lot of stuff because no one ever made me. And of course, like you, when you're given your chicken finger pizza groove, why the fuck are you going to break out of that?
Exactly. I just had no desire to ever eat anything else than chicken parm and mashed potatoes.
Exactly, because it's the best shit. And then...
But what happened? Because something... See, there's a difference between someone like you and someone like me. I left the nest and went, I'm only eating chicken fingers and mashed potatoes and chicken parm. You left the nest and said, what is bubble tea?
You know what? You're right. And I'm wondering. I mean, I feel like... I wonder, of course, was shame a part of it? Like where I felt outclassed by people in college?
Interesting.
But really, I'm thinking one of the first things I had was pesto. I had never had pesto.
I actually never had pesto because it was green and I'm sure I rejected
it.
I'm sure I rejected
it. Yeah. Exactly. And I remember encountering pesto at I went to Barnard, but I ate a lot at Columbia and there was penne pesto pasta in the salad bar. And I was like, what the fuck? It's so good. Honestly, I feel like I just maybe was more than you, influenced by other people, and maybe felt like weird, like, oh, they're all eating this shit. What the fuck is wrong with me? So I was less confident in myself, I guess.
Yes.
That you didn't feel that, and I did.
Well, nothing was more important to me than food, and I never wanted to have a bad food experience.
I understand.
So it's like when I got to eat any time during the day, it was like, I want to have a good, happy, comforting experience doing this. And I knew that if I tried something new and it wasn't good, it would almost like all be ruined. It's like, well, now dinner is ruined. I had something horrible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it wouldn't be the comfort that I think I got from food.
Wow. Okay. Well, I also need to smooth out pain with food at every single step. I need to medicate at every single meal. I can never miss a medication drop.
Jen, speaking of every single meal medication, you take 95 different medications at every single meal because like you will order 5 to 6 different dishes. We went out to dinner once and you didn't like what you were having. So then you ate mine.
But this is one of the ways that I have edited my life as an adult, where I'm like, when you're an adult, I always wanted to order 2 drinks as a kid. I always wanted a Shirley Temple and a Roy Rogers. I want both. Well, you can't have both.
What's a Roy Rogers? I've never even heard of that.
Oh, God, Jimmy. It's a Shirley Temple with Coke. It's a cherry Coke.
Oh, wow.
It's like a country club drink. Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Well, the story, I think, is that Shirley Temple's, I think so that boys would feel less gay in like the 50s, they got a Roy Rogers. It was a more masculine drink than a Shirley Temple. So it was a mocktail for boys.
Interest. I love. Yeah. Now, I used to love the Roy Rogers hamburger chain. Did you ever go to a Roy Rogers hamburger chain?
I've only seen the outside.
Delish.
Because
they used to butter their buns, Jen.
Oh, don't.
So the burgers would be on a buttered bun. And they had a wonderful salad bar. Of course, a Fixin's bar. They called it the Fixin's bar. Of course, I rarely wanted any Fixin's. I would never put anything on my hamburger. But we used to go in high school when Terry Arena, my friend, got her license. And we used to pack into her car. She'd put on Mary J. Blige. We had an hour for lunch. And we'd go to Roy Rogers. I mean, I'm older than you, but we'd go to Roy Rogers really quick. It was like the best.
Honey, well, we did that at fucking Ponderosa, honey, outside of Pittsburgh.
Really?
Yes. Have you been to Ponderosa?
No, I've heard of that too, but I've never been.
I haven't seen one though in like 20 years.
Is that
only
a Pittsburgh thing, Ponderosa?
I don't think so, because it's like I didn't even know that a Ponderosa, I think, is a Texas homestead.
Yeah. Ponderosa is definitely a Texas word.
Oh, see, okay, it is, but I just associated with this place where they had different colors of puddings, and I just would put all these different puddings. So it was similar to your Roy Rogers, but I would go there for an after-school snack with my friends.
Wait a minute now. What kind of puddings? Like a dark chocolate, a milk chocolate, a vanilla,
dirt.
A strawberry?
It's basically their version of dirt. Yes. Yeah.
What does that mean? What do you mean? Their version of dirt. I don't know what you
Jimmy,
mean.
Jimmy, dirt is just dirt is like that dessert for kids where it's chocolate pudding and they crush up Oreos and shit and they usually have a gummy worm hanging out to evocatively make you think of soil.
Oh, I never heard of that. I thought you literally meant like there were so many flavors of pudding, it's like dirt. Like it's just like so many different things.
No, I mean like a very good textured chocolate pudding that has basically cookies. You know,
do
Oreos
other people know the word dirt as a dessert?
Yeah.
You know,
Jimmy,
that are outside of Pittsburgh?
They do. It's not like, it's more of like a kids thing and a
never
camp
heard
thing.
Of that.
I wonder if Bridger knows about it.
I wonder if Thomas, your husband, does.
He does, but I don't know if it's because I've just taught him.
Yeah, because he was raised by an English father.
He was raised by an English father who certainly didn't know about dirt. And no. The mom, Southern, but I don't know.
No, I don't know.
I don't know if this is like a 90s thing.
People
like
write into me
kid.
And tell me, babymouthpodcast@gmail.com, and I'll pass it along to my friend Jen, because I want to know. Like, I never heard that before, dirt with the Oreos. That sounds delicious.
Oh, you'd love it.
And I love pudding.
Oh, God, Jimmy.
But now do you generally for every dinner order two different kinds of drinks and three to four plates?
Yeah. Well, when I go out to dinner, it's either I'm splashing out and having fun or I am going to be really austere.
Really?
Yes.
We've only ever had splash out nights then.
Exactly.
You've never been austere at a dinner with me, ever.
No, I haven't. Because I generally save these austere dinners for my husband.
Just to give him a break from the variety of gin.
Yes. Exactly. It's so sad.
That is so funny. Yeah, because do you remember what your order was when we went to Grey Dog on 16th Street?
Oh, no.
You had like
I'll
a pink lemonade.
Yeah.
You had something
Mexican
else.
Hot chocolate.
Mexican hot chocolate and pink lemonade. Not to come at separate times, all at once.
Exactly. And then I had, I think, a cheese quesadilla.
Mm-hmm. Which you didn't like.
I didn't like any of it, though. I didn't like the lemonade. I didn't like the hot chocolate. I didn't like the quesadilla. There was one other thing I ordered. I didn't like that. And then so I started to eat your chicken fingers. And I could tell you did not want me to eat them.
No, I don't want people. Listen, I am not a sharer when it comes to food. At all. I am not. I don't want you to fucking look at my food. I don't want you to touch my food. I don't want you to ask me, can I try that? I will say yes, of course.
God.
But in my head, I'm going, no. Leave me alone. Let me
I'm
eat.
I'm just like you. I'm just
it's
like
terrible.
You.
It's terrible. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think because what you were saying, where the food is the medication, you need to get your hit. You need it, you know? And so it's not like a casual, it's not really that casual.
Right. I need, and also, I don't know if there was something about having a younger brother or my parents being like, give me some of your French fries or something before I was done, where I felt like I wasn't getting my due.
Totally. That completely makes sense.
Wow. Well, that's so interesting. I don't know, but now, okay, so why did you pick boba?
Wait, I got it to, hold on. I'll tell you about boba in a second, when you introduced this and you kept saying black bulls, it reminded me of black bulls. But the way you say bulls, it's so cute to think of you being a kid, like being in preschool, because I met a preschooler who their parents are my friends and they don't have this accent, your accent, but their kid's teacher had a strong accent. So he said bull. and it was the cutest thing to hear this little kid say bull. So I'm just thinking of how adorable it must have been. And I was listening to this podcast you did with Rosie, and you loved Rosie, who sounded like you. And I just love thinking of you as a kid. And anyway,
I gravitate toward people who sound like me, and because and also I had very strong women, and still do. My mother, my aunt. You know, my mother has a twin, my aunt Rhody, who she talks about on almost every one of these podcasts, and they talk very much the same way. They're both very overbearing. They both have extremely loud nasal. Heavy Jersey accents. You know, they look like the cast from The Nanny. They have huge hair, frequently leopard print, you know, pants, a jumpsuit on with big chunky. Aunt Rhody has a necklace that says Rhody and diamonds on it with big earrings. God. You know, nothing is small. Nothing is understated. It's, you know, big chunky purse.
Oh, I love it so much.
Yeah, I mean, even my high school, you know, I graduated from high school in 93. So even then, is that right? Yeah, oh my God. I was going to say, no, 97. No, it was 93 for high school. But even my high school yearbook, like the girls, their hair isn't even in the frame of the photo. It's just a photo, God. And it's just hair all on all sides. Like, it's wild. But you didn't grow up that way, right? Your hair was nice and simple and classy.
Because I graduated in 03. We're talking about the iron stick straight. Oh. You know, like it had to be super stick straight.
All right, Jen, we're getting into this boba. Now, why did you pick... Now, okay, so you said boba. Mm-hmm. Well, first you said dates.
I know.
And I was like, great, I've never had a date. And you were like, get the Medjool dates. They're like,
I did.
And then you said, or you could do boba, but you might not like that. And I wrote back to you and said, I'll get both the Medjool and the boba. Meaning different kinds of dates. I thought that boba was a different kind of date.
Exactly. I just thought you were going to get two different things. And I was like, what the hell?
And it was only until I was in the parking lot of Whole Foods that I said to Bridger, okay, I'm just going to run in and get these two different kinds of dates, the Medjool and the boba. And he was like, what are you talking about? Boba is not a kind of date. It's a drink.
Jimmy.
And I was like, oh my God. So literally... But I also thought boba was like a root vegetable that you put in a stew.
Well, Jimmy, you probably thought root because at some point during your travels through life, you heard that boba or the bubbles are, I think it's taro root.
I thought they were tapioca balls.
Okay, they are tapioca balls, but what does that mean? Like when we both say we've heard they're tapioca balls, what the hell does that mean?
Tapioca pudding?
Yes, but why are they black?
I don't know.
They're black because, listen, at one point in my life, I looked this up because I am obsessed with bubble tea, and I was like, what the fuck are these bubbles? I tried to figure it out because it's not just tapioca. I've had tapioca pudding. Those are little clear things.
Yeah.
These are black bulls. It's some sort of root. Okay, Jimmy? It's some sort of...
Oh, interesting.
So you heard that at some point in your life. You heard taro, you heard root.
Oh.
That's why, because I swear.
Now listen, I Googled to see what it was after I bought the drink. And it says it's so bad for you. In fact, in 2012, there was a study done that there were like carcinogens in the boba tea. Yeah.
Wait, will you tell me what is it? What the fuck? I thought it was some root that was kind of natural.
I think it's just tapioca balls. I think that's what it said.
So why is it black?
Do you want me to look it up right now?
Actually, yes, because...
Right, let's look it up. Hold on. We're going to look up why is boba black? Why is my boba not black? What makes boba black? To give tapioca pearls, their dark color, brown sugar is added. The sugar gives the pearls a richer hue and adds sweetness because it gives them a more visible appearance and often a sweeter flavor. Black tapioca pearls are commonly used to make bubble tea.
Okay, they're called...
The cassava root.
All right. Because I was screaming at you about roots, but there is some root involved, but it's just the cassava root is used to make this starch thing.
Black boba's made from the cassava root. The black coloring is created by adding brown sugar, caramel coloring. It says, now, you know, I have diabetes, so should I have an ambulance standing by? Because already Bridger was like, do not drink the whole drink, Jim. Do you eat the little black balls after you enjoy it, or that's just a sweetener?
Jimmy.
I don't know.
You're going to figure this out because when you put the straw inside, it's going to be such a crazy sensation. Yes, you eat them. You chew them.
Oh, okay.
You don't just swallow them. You do not just swallow them.
And you said to me, no milk. You said mango, green tea, boba, milk.
No milk. I just think I don't like that.
Really? What don't you like about the milk? Because I think I would enjoy milk with this.
No, like I think you're going to think the drink itself is delicious.
I hope
okay? I really think you're going to enjoy the drink. And I think you're going to be scared. I can't wait to see your face when the bulls go through the straw.
Are they supposed to go? Because the straw is a big... I did notice they
give you a big straw. Oh, shit, it's black!
Oh, you wanted me to see the black bulls go up the straw?
Yeah, because often, usually the straw is clear, and then you watch the balls go up. But it's fine. It's going to be so exciting and scary when they come up.
It's a thick straw. Like, it's a big straw, big opening.
Yeah, honestly, I've actually been scared. I mean, as straws are you know, as they go away,
yes.
I've been like, what's going to happen? But I don't know how this is going to work with bubble tea. So far, no one's fucked with them.
Bamboo, they should do. I'm not a fan of a paper straw. Oh. Because
well,
it
no,
just,
paper's bad.
I mean, it's, you know, yeah, because it just like disintegrates in your drink and then it loses its tension. It's not good, the paper. But we could figure something out because I do want to save the ocean. All right, I'm taking out the big black straw.
Yes.
It's time to get into this boba.
Yeah. Can you show me the cup? Great.
This is a huge, they only had this size or large.
Okay.
I got this size. It's enormous. Look how big this fucking thing is.
Jim, that's not that big.
Oh, all right. It seems that's like a big vat of soup.
Oh, it's
all right,
just...
I'm taking off this plastic wrap.
No, don't, Jim!
No, all right, I'm not taking off the plastic wrap.
Jim, what? Jimmy, Jesus right. Christ, I here's didn't. What you do. You take the straw and you stab it very quickly and very hard through the middle of the plastic wrap.
You don't
oh my
take
God.
The plastic wrap off?
No, Jimmy. You stab the straw very hard, very decisively through right. the middle.
Oh, one of the sides of the straw
yes.
has like a, okay.
Is pointing.
See,
yes.
thank God you're here. I literally don't know what I'm doing. I thought this was a wrap for transit, for transport.
No.
All right, hold on. I'm going to go decisively and hard in the middle
yes.
of the plastic wrap. Is
yes.
this the best podcast you've ever been on? How fun is this? How do people?
Oh, it's the.
I mean, my God, this is so enjoyable. If I was listening to this at home,
with you.
No, but really, I don't even. The guy doesn't even know how to put the fucking straw on this thing, and it's authentic. I'm not making this up. I truly don't know what I'm doing. This is so much fun.
Next thing you're gonna be like, so here, I'll squeeze my dick through the through
yeah,
like when I take
don't
off the
I
plastic
put the balls in my own balls? All right, here I go. I'm gonna decisively puncture this plastic. Okay, I did it.
Excellent.
All right. And it's good. Right. It's very good. All right. Now I should just sip this and you think the balls will come through the straw? Am I shooting for the balls to come through?
Yes.
Or just let that happen naturally? You want
the
balls.
You can let it happen naturally, right. but let the straw, make sure that it's going, you know, where the balls are in the bottom.
Okay.
And I want you to just suck it up until you feel some of those little things.
Little black balls.
Little black bulls
all right.
enter.
Here I go. First time boba with Jen Spira of the Big Time Book. She's doing signings in a mask all over the country. I'm seeing her Instagram is reignited after years of being dormant. She's back
Jimmy.
On Instagram to promote this Big Time Book. There's quotes from everybody. Stephen Colbert loves the book. Mindy Kaling, our own friend of Baby Mouth, Rosie O'Donnell, has raved about the book. She just mentioned it to me again, by the way, how fun it was. I'm not even kidding.
No.
Yeah, she
oh,
did.
God.
I know, my queen,
oh,
Rosie.
God.
All right, here I go.
I love Rosie
first
so
time
much.
Black balls boba. Mm. Mm. Oh, my God.
Jimmy.
Mm, I got a ball. Mm.
Got one? Okay.
It tastes like a perfume.
I know. It tastes, there's an, you're right, almost like in some herbal Middle Eastern way,
that
sort of.
That is wild. That is a drink that people drink.
It's
it
crazy.
It tastes like a crazy candy. Let me take another drink.
Yes, yes.
Mm. Yeah. I got another bowl. Mm.
Okay, Jimmy.
First of all, the mango green tea.
Mm. Jimmy.
Oh my God, I'm going to have such diabetes. Dr. Weiner, if you're listening at Cedars-Sinai, I apologize.
No, no.
I did give him the link to my podcast, my doctor.
Oh, God. Mm,
I'm sorry, Dr. Weiner. I'll cut out carbs for a few days after this. This is so... Mm.
What do you think? Do you
oh
actually
my
think it's
God,
Jimmy!
It's so good. Is there any kind of boba that's good for me that I could have that would taste
Wait
like
a second.
This?
Wait a second. You have taken to boba faster than I think anyone's ever taken to boba. Because I was a little bit like, it took me a few to be like, what the wait.
Oh my God, it tastes like delicious fruit. Maybe,
it does.
You know, this place has like 5 stars on Yelp. Tea and Me in Eagle Rock on Colorado Boulevard. Colorado, I can't even talk. It's so good. My tongue is jumping for joy. Colorado Boulevard and Eagle Rock, Tea and Me. Oh
Jimmy,
my God, and I love those black balls.
Jimmy, wait, you like the boba? Mm. Just your first time out.
I got two balls that time. I got two balls. Mm.
Jimmy.
They're like squishing and delicious.
Yes.
Do people
yes.
not like this? What do you mean?
Jimmy, this is so popular.
It tastes
this
like perfume.
It does. It does. I and you're having the mango green tea flavor, and I think that's just so Now, Jimmy, I'm going to have you stop after one more sip. It's, I don't want to kill you.
Again.
I can't believe how fast you're taking it.
I don't think I'm going to eat a dinner. I think I'm just going to drink this for dinner. I wonder how much sugar is in this, because that, do you, how often, because even when I Googled, it said you should not have a bubble tea every day.
Yeah. So unfortunately, it really is considered to be a treat. My normal meal in New York, my normal meal would be a cinnamon raisin bagel with scallion cream cheese. A lot of it. Like, I'll watch them like a hawk and I'll be like, no more, no more, 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 more. And mango green tea. I used to get double bubble and I sometimes get extra sweet.
Double bubble means double black balls.
Exactly.
Can I take another sip? I'm not kidding.
Yes. Wait, I can't. So
we should test my sugar after this with the meter. I think a ball got stuck in the straw now. I can't sip any up.
That'll happen. Oh,
okay,
boy.
The balls got stuck in the straw, and then I created then so you much get pressure. Yeah. No, I got two, but it was like a jolt.
Is this, does it happen often that you just, you fall in love with one
no,
of those?
No, hardly ever. Pad Thai was delish. Chicken Jalfrezi, yes. Delish. The Brussels sprouts that I had with Norm Lewis, because they had panko and garlic.
Oh.
Delish. Catfish last week.
Oh,
not last week.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago. Delicious.
Okay. Oh, but my God.
I like this because it's like, so what do you drink? You drink this as like a dessert, like an end of the day? You
no,
would drink this for
hell
breakfast?
No. Hell no. When you drink it, for example, at the farmer's market, they have it at the farmer's market, you know, 3rd and Fairfax. They actually have, it's in the back by the crepe. Oh, God, those crepes are good too. Oh, it's Jimmy. I would drink this honestly with like, with a meal. I would drink it with a meal. Or of course you could just have it as a treat, as your fun pick-me-up treat, instead of whatever the sugary coffee is, you know?
Oh my God. I don't have sugary coffee. I only have cold brew with a tiny bit of
milk.
Well,
good. Good. I mean, actually, I sneak this into my favorite sushi restaurant on the Upper West Side. I started
the one you
getting,
made me go to.
Yes, exactly.
Didn't we go? What was it called?
Well, it's called Yasaka.
Yeah, it was like $75. I didn't have any sushi because I've never had sushi. I had like two pieces of shrimp tempura. It was $75. I'm sending you a Venmo request after this.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Hard times, Jen. Hard time. Pandemic.
Seriously.
I have no pandemic relief. I need that $70 back from my shrimp tempura.
Jesus, I'm sorry.
This is really, so you would drink this, tell me again, as a treat? You wouldn't have this with a dinner.
Hell yes, I would, honey. Hell yes, I would. I take it next to Yasaka. There is, what's it called? Tea Magic. Okay, it's called Tea Magic. I get this. I kind of hide it behind my body until I'm seated at the table. And then I put it on the table, but I order so much and I order drinks. I order everything. They used to be cool and respect that this was my choice. They started talking to me and saying, you can't do that.
You're
anymore.
Kidding. Because they knew you there when we went.
They did. So I cooled it for a week and then I started it back up again.
Why would they be so strict with you? Just bringing, you're still spending $100. That place was not cheap and you eat a lot of different things there.
Exactly. And I also would order two desserts when I was there.
Yes, you did.
Yes, yes. And so it was only one waitress and I just wrote her off as a sort of ornery character. So I don't know. It's been a while since I've been there because I've been hiding out in Savannah. But when I go back, I'm totally going to be up to my old tricks. And I love it with sushi because, you know, sushi's kind of light. And this, but I know you hate sushi.
Never had it. I never had sushi. I don't know if I like it or not.
I can't believe no one has chosen sushi.
Not yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
I remember when you had your catfish and you said, this doesn't taste fishy. That's
so
what
delicious.
You're going to be shocked when you have tuna, when you have spicy tuna, you're going to think someone should have told me. It doesn't taste fishy.
Really? Because tuna fish was not good.
Jimmy, I hate tuna fish.
It was
disgusting.
Gross. And no offense to Rosie, because I love her, but I think also the way she had me prepare it with mayonnaise and capers.
That's normal. It's just that for people that love tuna fish, that's classy and normal. But Jimmy, I don't like cooked tuna either. I like it raw, and so will you.
Wow, I'm excited to have sushi. Yeah. I feel like you and I, after the pandemic, should do in-person sushi and do another episode live at a sushi restaurant and wear little lavalier mics.
Oh.
Because sushi is like variety. Like nobody eats one kind. And you're like a variety queen. You're the queen
I
of
am,
variety.
I am, but also I was you when I didn't this is in crazy. College.
I can't believe
I was
it.
You.
I can't believe it.
I felt very pissed that no one told me, oh, it doesn't taste like that.
Are there certain things now that you will not eat? Are there certain foods, vegetables, meals, types of cuisine that you're like, I will not. I've tried it, or even you haven't tried it.
Well, yes, there are. I mean, you know, actually with sushi, and it's so popular and it makes me a little bit of like a lame-o, but I don't love eel.
Okay.
So I don't eat the eel. And actually just last night I had pho. You know, I had Vietnamese beef pho.
I just had that for the first time ever.
You did? Okay. On the podcast?
Yes. Last week.
What did you think?
Was delish. So comforting. Oh. The beef scared me because it looks raw.
Yeah.
But the broth was like a molten lava from a volcano.
Right.
And so I guess the meat cooks in the hot, hot broth. You didn't enjoy?
I've had it a bunch of times and I'm like, why do I not like it? And Tommy, my husband, put his finger on it. It's anise. There's this, it's that licorice-y anise flavor.
Yes, yes.
I don't like that.
Good to know.
And that's what's in pho.
That's
so
good
I realized
that you know that.
It is.
Do you like paprika?
I do. And I know you hate it. I love it, Jimmy.
Oh, my God, Jen.
I'd take a bath in it, honey.
Oh, my God. That's my biggest nightmare.
Jimmy, it's just... Jimmy, I don't even know if you really don't like it.
No, I really, believe me, because there's a place that puts paprika on the French fries. And it'll take a lot to stop me from eating a French fry. Like, I love French fries. And I was like, I'm just going to eat this with the paprika on it. Nope.
Yeah.
I wound up not eating the French fries, like a pound of French fries.
That's really interesting because have you had voodoo? Have you had New Orleans voodoo chips? You know, those voodoo chips in that bag?
I don't know what that is.
Oh, okay.
Is that filled with paprika?
Paprika is definitely one of the... Okay, I got to get you a bag of these chips because I
voodoo
know you
Voodoo chips
like them.
From...
Oh, Jimmy, they're amazing.
Maybe I could do that as a thing on the podcast.
You should. You should add voodoo chips to
All
your
All right, because I never even heard of those. But they have paprika.
Jimmy, you'll be crawling on your hands and knees for Vons. You'll be screaming at Bridger to take me to Vons. No.
Really?
Just add voodoo chips.
All right, I'll add voodoo chips. So eel, anything else that you absolutely won't eat?
I mean, I don't like beets, which I know. I just think they taste like the ground.
I just had those beets and they were not good.
Oh,
well, my
good.
Guest
like
who
them.
I love, Barrett Foa, I've known him forever. He's a wonderful friend, lovely guy.
Yes.
He said, go to Gelson's and get Love Beets. It's called Love Beets. They're in a package.
Okay.
And they're already marinated with vinegar. And then the other kind was marinated with honey ginger.
I mean,
Jimmy,
I don't like them either.
Rough,
what turned you off?
The texture of dirt, not the Oreo ice cream sundae dirt.
Yes.
But
dirt. Well, the texture, but I'm sorry. It tastes like ground. It tastes like, I'm not into it.
And also they're purple. It just was not good. They
weren't totally.
Good. People enjoy those on a salad, apparently, beets.
Well, they certainly do because I encounter them on salads often.
And you don't eat them. You eat around them.
I eat around them and I'll definitely ask. I'll ask for them to not be there if I can.
Yeah.
Because often all the other shit I want.
Do you do
I want
onions?
The fucking candy nuts.
A lot of people on
God,
this podcast
honey.
Hate onions. They hate them.
That's,
I love onions.
That's insane.
People
onions
say I don't even want them on my plate.
Food.
They say if they even on the plate, I tell them take it back and put it on a whole nother plate without the onion.
I think that's so pathetic.
I
because
love it. Oh, wow.
I don't even know if they understand that they don't like onions. Like, of course they like them when they're cooked. They're in everything. That's what smells good. If you ever walk into a kitchen, that's why it smells good, dumbass.
I love onion. I like raw onion. I like raw.
Oh.
I could chop an onion and eat it. Delish.
Oh, my God. Oh, I only do that on a lox and bagel. You mean you just eat?
Never had lox, by the way.
Oh,
is that salmon? What is that?
Honey, it's salmon.
Never had. I've had cooked salmon, but I've never had raw salmon.
Cooked salmon sucks. I will eat
it
just to be healthy. Okay, I don't like, even though I'll eat it often to be healthy, I don't like it. I don't like the taste or the smell. Jimmy, if you think that's what fish tastes like, it's not.
Fishy.
It's not.
But you'll
no.
eat raw salmon?
Doesn't taste or smell anything like cooked salmon, Jimmy.
Really?
Yes. I thought that the way that the way that a lot of seafood restaurants smell is bad and weird. And that's
fishy.
What I thought fish. Yes. I thought fish tasted like that. No, that's just rotten. That's rotten fish. That's not
really?
What it tastes like. Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes, because I was you.
Are you planning on going back to New York City, or are you making your life in Savannah, Georgia now?
We are planning on going back, even though I love Savannah so much. And indeed, I love the food here so much. But oh, God, we're going back to New York. We're headed back in May.
Great. Well, yes. We should get some lox when I'm in New York. We should you should just be my permanent guest on this show. Oh. And you can just keep introducing me to various foods.
Jimmy, I will. Honey, I will. In our actual life, you know I will.
Do you think you'll write another book?
I do. And I'm just... because I'm so excited. I loved it so much. Yes.
A success, Jen.
Oh, Jimmy, thank you. I'm so glad that you like it.
I loved
so
it,
much.
But also my friends. Like, I mean, people would tell me it's bad. You know what I mean? They loved the book. People are loving the book.
That is so freaking cool. Yes. Because it was the thing that, it was the biggest thing I ever chewed off.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, shit, is this going to... Am I going to completely embarrass myself? But
no,
here we are.
The opposite. So you think you'll write another book? You think the second book will also be in the same form of like short stories, short-ish stories?
Well, I love short stories, but kind of like the Big Kahuna is the novel. And I want to be a big boy too, you know? So I'm like, the last story I wrote in the book is novella length. I forget exactly how long, 100, 110.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? If I crack that, I guess I can go. So I got to try to do it.
And do you have desires to write episodic television as well? Or are you focusing on books right now?
I do. And I really just want to do both because the fiction. Yeah. I mean, the thing is that the freedom with the fiction, just like the freedom that you had when you wrote that pilot alone before you would have to sell it and get notes, that freedom is addictive and exciting. And I don't want to give it up. So you can have that in fiction, but then TV is so fun and exciting and moves so much faster than fiction. And let's not even talk about the checks. So,
oh my God. Yeah. Well, that's also a perk is the money.
It certainly is.
What are the shows that you watch right now that you enjoy on television? Anything? I feel like you watch a lot. I bet you watch, I don't even know what you watch, but I bet you watch dramas. I feel like you watch The Crown. You probably loved.
Well, I certainly watched the Diana season, which was, of course, fun because if you know it, it's fun to see it. But Jimmy, I am so I need to come up with a good answer for something that is like current that I'm watching because actually what I'm watching, I'd never watched The Sopranos. And have you seen it?
Jen, do you know who's on The Sopranos? Me.
You were not. Jen, no, you're not on The Sopranos.
Jen, what season are you on?
Are you pussy? Are you
pussy? I am big pussy. What season are you on, Jen?
I'm like deep in 4.
Okay. When you get to 6.
Oh my God.
Keep your eyes and ears open.
Wait, if I fucking didn't, Jimmy, I almost wish I didn't. I would have had a heart attack.
I can't tell you what I do because it's a major plot point that a huge thing on The Sopranos.
I'm going to cry.
But let me just tell you that
do you shoot Tony Soprano in the
last
episode? I can't
tell you what happens.
Oh my
It's season
God.
6, so it's not even the last episode. I think season 6 is 6A and 6B, and I might be in 6A. I think they divided it. Bridger and I are just watching this whole Sopranos from beginning to end, and we just got to my episode.
Is Bridger freaking out?
We've both watched the series many times, but he was like, this is so weird, because we've been watching it for 6 months, you know?
Yeah,
we don't watch this episode every night. Like, we'll watch an episode and then watch something else for a few nights and then go back. And then all of a sudden, there I was, 28-year-old Jimmy Smigula on The Sopranos, and Steve Buscemi directed my episode. And
episodes are so good.
My scene was on Entertainment Tonight. It was on Access Hollywood.
Jimmy.
It was a major, major plot thing that happens in the show, and I don't want to ruin it for you, because the ride of The Sopranos is the greatest ride that you'll ever go on. It's the greatest show. It's so funny. Jen, how funny is the show?
I am so glad you asked me that. The show is so funny. And the show is so funny. The moments when it's funny, it's so unbelievably funny. And specifically Janice. Janice is so funny. And they almost push it to camp. They almost push it and they don't. It's I know, Jimmy, I agree with you that it's the greatest ride. And it's funny because Thomas has almost raised his hand in anger at me. Almost, not really. I do this thing where I fall asleep when we watch stuff.
Yes.
And I've done this to him for like 10 years. And it's so frustrating to him, Bridget, that
it's the same way, Jen Spira.
Bridger falls asleep, or he raises his hand.
I have diabetes, people. No. Okay, my sugar is up. My sugar is down. Tonight, after half of this boba, which I'm going to finish the whole thing, I don't care. I'm sorry, Dr. Weiner, if you're listening. But I'm sure I'm going to crash at about 9:45. I'm sorry.
Yes.
I get up early. I go to bed. I have a dog. I have to walk. I have podcasting. I'm writing a pilot. I'm auditioning. I'm doing a lot of things, okay?
I know.
I have a lot of people I need to talk to and mentally take care of. I'm a friend and a foe to many. So I have a big life all day, and I'm tired at the end of the day. And sometimes, you know, and Bridger makes fresh baked cookies every night, and I put on my pajamas and my robe. And, you know, LA, the temperature goes down like 20 degrees at night. Yeah. And the dog is snoring in my lap. And Bridger, how can you not fall asleep? I go right to sleep, and he gets so mad. We can't even watch anything together. You just fall asleep. It's like we're 80 years old. And it's like, I'm so sorry. I don't sleep till 9 a.m. I'm up at 6:30.
Jimmy, you are singing my song. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. That was our life. And it really was a problem. And then Thomas had been trying to get me to watch The Sopranos forever. And I said no. And I put up a fight for 10 years. And finally, I was like, fine, I'll watch the fucking Sopranos with you. And just like when you find like a song that finally a baby will go to sleep to, if you just play that song, or when like kids will always fall asleep in the car, The Sopranos keeps me awake. It's the one show.
I can't believe you're saying
this. I can't fall asleep.
I cannot fall asleep. Okay. I've never fallen asleep during The Sopranos. But any other show, like, and these are really good shows, like The Queen's Gambit, The Crown. We'll watch a documentary. I'm out like a light. There's a song called Lupin.
Yes.
It's French. The guy is a thief. Yes. Fell right asleep. I woke up and said, what happened? He goes, forget it. You missed it.
Oh my God.
Mad. But Sopranos. And also, I love James Gandolfini. I'm not going to tell you, and you're the only person in the world I would ever say this to, but do not watch my reel on Vimeo, because the scene is on there and it's going to ruin a huge plot point for you. So do not look me up. Do not look for my acting work on the internet. But I got to go to a table read of The Sopranos, and it's a wedding episode.
Oh.
Every single character who had ever been on The Sopranos was at this table read at Silver Cup Studios. So I'm sitting, and there's James Gandolfini and Edie Falco and Lorraine Bracco and Michael Imperioli and Steve Schrippa and Tony Sirico, and they're all and David Chase, who created the whole fucking thing, and Terrence Winter, who wrote my episode, who went on to create Boardwalk Empire. And Aida Turturro, who played Janet. I mean, I could go on. There were 9 picnic tables around the room of people. And they all kissed each other on the cheek when they greeted each other, all the men, as if they were in the mafia. I remember the guy who plays Phil Leotardo. I know he passed away. I can't think of his name. Brilliant actor who played Phil, you know, the gray-haired mean guy. He came in and saw James Gandolfini. Jimmy, how are you? And they kissed each other on each cheek. Like, it was like being at a mafia. It was crazy. It was the best day of my life. I went that afternoon to 42nd Street. The table read was at like 3 or 4 p.m. And that day, the first movie I was ever in, called The Island, that Michael Bay directed, and Steve Buscemi was in with me. In my one little scene, I was opposite Steve Buscemi.
Oh my God, how do I not know this?
It came out that day. So I went at noon to see. I was like the one of two people at the AMC on 42nd Street. And then I took the train to Silver Cup to Queens and did the table read of The Sopranos. That's one of the best days of my entire life.
That day is insane.
Never had another day like that.
Oh my God. I don't even know if James Gandolfini, he doesn't talk like that, right?
He does not have a heavy accent. So when you get to your later seasons, there are some things that happen where he loses his accent for a minute. Or did you ever see the movie with Julia Louis-Dreyfus? What was it called?
I didn't.
He's so good in it.
Oh, he's so good in it.
We had so much more work from that guy.
Yes.
There was so much more to come. And it's just such a shame. You know, we skip the beginning credits, so I never even know who directs or...
We never skip those, Jim.
We skip
them. How do you
skip? It says skip, and you push the fast forward on the Apple TV.
Oh, I can't. Okay, we literally, we are rocking, like we're in the bed and we have this like rocking motion that we do, even though we're lying down. We're kind of like... Like pushing our butts into the bed in excitement.
I love it. Got yourself connected. Yeah. The writing's on the wall. I love it. No, we skip right through. We skip through.
It's 8 minutes long.
It's 45 minutes, the intro song. It's literally an hour and 35. It's a minute and 35 seconds or something, because I used to fast forward and know where it would end. But that's great. I'm glad you're watching it. I can't believe you never knew I was on it.
Jimmy, this is like when I didn't know that you were in Rosie's audience. And I was like, I can't even... These are two things about... I didn't know. Jimmy, The Sopranos.
I know.
This isn't, it's like saying you're on I Love Lucy or something.
I know, and let me tell you, I didn't get on till season 6. So that means for 6 years, people are going, you should be on The Sopranos. You're from New Jersey, Jim. And I'm like, I know. Thank you. I haven't gotten to the sign up sheet to let them know. Like, there's nothing you can do. And then finally, I get the audition, and my agent's like, you have to go to this. You know, it's Georgianne Walken. Christopher Walken's wife was the casting director of The Sopranos.
Oh, my God.
She's an iconic, her and Sheila Jaffe are iconic casting directors. And
Sheila Jaffe.
And Meredith Tucker, who's now an iconic casting director, cast Godfather of Harlem. But I auditioned for Georgianne Walken. I go in for this scene, and I finish the scene, and she goes, that was good. So this character is probably like 33, 34, 35 years old. And now I am 28 years old at the time. And I go, yeah. And she goes, so which one do you think he is? Because it's illegal for any casting director to ask you how old you are if you're a union actor. So she wasn't sure how old I was. And instead of asking me, she said, how old do you think the character is? And I picked the one in the middle. I said, 34. She goes, all right, thank you. And I left. Now, before I went in for the audition, I was in the waiting room, and a guy came out and said to the waiting room, I got a call back. So I'm like, okay, this fucking idiot. He exclaims to the room that he got a call back. I go in and do my audition. I say I'm 34 years old. I leave, and she goes, thank you so much. So I leave, and I go down to the cozy sandwich place that's across from the office, and I'm thinking to myself, Jen, like, I didn't get it. I didn't get a callback. They were obviously giving out callbacks in the room because that guy knew he had a callback. She didn't say anything to me. That was my chance to be on The Sopranos. Oh, well. And I wake up the next morning. My agent had left me a voicemail at 10 a.m. saying you have to be at Silver Cup at 6 p.m. You're going to callbacks for David Chase and Steve Buscemi. They're all going to be there. And then I got it.
I can't.
You have to have a moment like that in your career. Was it when you heard that you were going to have
Jimmy,
a publisher
for your
book?
Jimmy, I had one today. I had one.
Can you tell us what it was? Tell
us. You know what? I can. And it involves a famous literary figure. But Jimmy, it's you might not know who she is, but she's absolutely brilliant.
I probably
don't
know who she is because I'm not a well-read person.
I went
to Tisch School of the Arts.
You went to Tisch?
Yeah, but I didn't read anything a lot. I don't read a lot. I mean, I am now. I'm reading now, but I wasn't a well-read person.
All right, well, listen. She's literally the queen of the literary scene, Patricia Lockwood. Her novel, No One Is Talking About This, is blowing up the charts. It's absolutely amazing. Her memoir, Priest Daddy, was incredible. Anyway, she's super cool. I was just a fan of hers for years. And then when we moved to Savannah, I did know in the back of my head that she lived in Savannah, but I was like, I'm sure I won't run into her. I did not know this, but I moved into this apartment that was extremely close to where she lived. And so I would see her around.
Oh my God. And so the first time you saw her, you were like, that's Patricia Lockwood.
I was like, oh my God, that's Patricia Lockwood. And I love her stuff, but I didn't say anything. And then I didn't say anything forever. And then finally, after I was here for like, almost for like, 8 months, I finally was like, I'm going to say hi. So I did say hi. And then we just kind of chatted. And then we did an event together because our books came out like basically within the same month. Her recent novel, which called No One Is Talking About This. And it's incredible. And we did an event with the Savannah Bookstore online, a virtual event. Anyway, she invited me to her pool to hang out today. And her husband, the compliment that I'm living on now is that her husband told me that when she was reading my book, he had never heard her laugh so much when she was reading a book. And she reads books because she works for the London Review of Books, and she does a lot of literary criticism for them. Very fancy.
Lord.
And so she's constantly reading, and he said she loved it. And so I was like, and he was telling me the same thing. I know Jimmy, but so anyway, it's when you are like with Steve Buscemi, an actor that is so amazing, who I assume you just adore and respect.
Oh my God.
I mean, her mind, she's brilliant. And so I'm like, and she's super funny. And so I'm like, it really mattered. It's a fresh one, but
it's beautiful. And it's just our business, whether you're writing, acting, directing, whatever you're doing, it is an impossible business. It's impossible. Oh, yeah. Whether you went to Barnard or Harvard or Montclair State, it's impossible. To get any kind of encouragement from a hero is just something, like you said, you carry it with you as long as you possibly can. I can't tell you how many times I would get down in the dumps and look at I go, you know what? I'm going to go look at my resume. I'm going to literally go look at my resume, which I know might sound a little crazy, but sometimes you need to go, oh yeah, I did all of these things. Everything's going to be okay. It's not just going to all of a sudden stop now.
Yes.
I have worked. Yes. I will work again, because there are dry spells, and they are very dry, and there are dark days, and sometimes they can get really dark, particularly during the last year of trying to live through a pandemic. So when you get those nuggets from your heroes, it's almost unbelievable. You can't believe it.
You can't. And you're right. They're so special. The ones that really matter. And before you're even in the place where you can get a real nugget from a real hero, it's just in high school or where the really funny person says, hey, you're funny. And you're like, holy shit, you think I'm funny? And that's an early nugget. I mean, because the nuggets just matter.
I remember being in high school and singing at a school assembly, because they would always, the teachers always encouraged me to sing. So we would have an assembly, and then they go, you know, the principal would say something, and they say, okay, now Jimmy Smigula is going to sing. And I remember like the school football quarterback bully was like, you sounded really good, Jim. You sounded good. And I was like, thank you. Thank you so much. Like, don't hit me. But I remember being like, oh my God, like, that's one of those moments. Like, we need those throughout our lives to just keep on keeping on.
Oh my God. That is such a fuck. That's so much better. One that I literally think of is being at a party, just like a drinking at a party, and like this cool, hot senior guy who was very funny, who was known to be really funny, was like, you can really riff. You can really just like talk. Like he said, and I was just like, even that, like such a pathetic little thing. Oh, but I mean, even being noticed in any way for that thing that you think you have a glimmer of something is helpful.
We're very lucky people. I'm lucky to know you. I adore you. You know I do. I spend most of my time just trying to convince you to move back to Los Angeles so we can be together.
I know.
Because it's not your thing, but
the time I know. I mean, I love to visit, honey. You know I love to visit.
I know.
But the times with you and with Bridger in my life,
they're the greatest.
The greatest times. And the laughs.
Oh my
the
God. We laugh. So, and always a classy, like when I go to New York and I say to Jen, like, let's meet, it's always at the classiest. Like, what's the fucking coffee shop we met at? It's like in the Metropolitan.
Sabarsky.
Yeah, Sabarsky. It's in, what is it, in the MoMA? Or
it's
something?
In the Noya Gallery.
Yeah, I never even heard of that before, the Noya Gallery. Like, yeah. And you go sit there and she's like, oh, yes, this is where I like to do my writing. And it's like gorgeous.
Or was it in the New York Historical Society? There's that one restaurant. But Jimmy, then I had the mother of all strikeouts.
Oh my God, that place. What was that place called? It was awful.
Okay. Oh my God, it's on 121st in Amsterdam.
Beautiful neighborhood. Great neighborhood. Great Columbia. Great neighborhood. But what was happening? It was like cafeteria furniture in there.
It was such a hopping place when I was at Barnard, and it has gone. It just zoomed downhill.
Something happened.
it was so bad. But I remember assuring you that we had to go there for the atmosphere. And you walked
the tables were wobbly. It was like a fourth grade classroom. It was decorated like a fourth grade classroom.
And it was so abandoned and so fucking depressing.
There was no one in there. The waitress didn't want to be in there. Nobody wanted to be in there.
It was horrible.
And the food wasn't even good, Jen.
No, it was all... Jimmy, I was... that was the most ashamed I've ever been.
That was a big strikeout for you because usually you are top shelf. And yes! That was rough. That was a rough, but you recovered. You've recovered. We've moved past it. I'm so glad that you came on my podcast. I cannot thank you enough.
Jimmy, this is the honor of the world. I love your podcast. I love your guests. You get the best people.
I'm trying to get good people. It's not. I'm all by myself, you know, Jen. I do this alone. I don't have a network. I don't have an editor.
Are you serious?
Jen, I get all the guests myself. I got the boba myself. What? I will now spend a week editing this podcast.
But it's so legit looking. You mean any schmo can just make it and make it look that legit?
Jen, yes. I wrote the theme song. I performed the theme song.
What?
My friend Tim Quartier did the artwork for the podcast. I get the food myself. I'm on
Jimmy.
Zoom. I have the thing here. I do it all by myself, Jen. I'm just me.
That's absolutely insane. You're about to be a rich man.
I hope so. I'm looking. We are actively seeking a network to just, I would just like help with the editing, frankly, because it's a lot.
Exactly.
But our viewership is growing and growing. We've been downloaded in over 75 countries around the world. I'm
Jimmy.
Like, people are listening to my mother talk about, you know, figs in Bulgaria. Like, it's so crazy, the reach of a podcast.
My.
It's wild. No, I do it all myself. It's great. I love doing it. It is a lot of work, but it is so worth it. And this boba is delicious. Now, every time I have this, which might be like twice a year just because of the sugar content.
Yeah.
But oh my God, it's so good. I'm going to try to figure out a way to finish the rest of this.
I can't wait to be in LA and maybe we'll have it, but don't worry. I'll monitor how much you have and then I'll knock it out of your hands and I'll throw it
so
in the garbage.
Good. Jen Spira, thank you so much for this boba. I'll think of you every time I drink it. And thank you for coming on Baby Mouth.
Jimmy. Thank you so much, darling. I'm so happy to be here. Mwah. I love you.
Mwah. All right. Here comes Lois, my mother. Has she ever had boba? I think she would love it. But, you know, we both have diabetes. So I don't think I'm going to suggest that she actually try boba at some point. But I don't think she knows what it is. Here she comes. Oh, Lois. Can you hear me?
I got you.
Whoa.
Now
oh, boy. It's always a struggle. Why do you think sometimes you can connect into the Zoom? And
I don't know, unless I press the wrong button or something. I don't know.
What do you think you press? Cancel instead of allow?
No, I don't know. I don't press cancel. I don't know, but now I'm fine.
Oh, good. I'm glad. Welcome to the Zoom. Welcome to Baby Mouth, the breakout star of the podcast.
Oh.
You have anything to say to your fans before we begin this week?
No, I don't.
Okay.
Hope everybody's well.
Everybody's good. I think everybody's good. It's a beautiful day here today. And, you know, I think the country is breathing a sigh of relief for the most part.
It's getting back
to the world is getting back. Do you feel like you're getting back to life?
Yeah, a little bit. Not as much as I was, but yeah, I feel better about things.
Good. Is there anything right now that you're still missing doing or no?
No, it's just that I don't know. I don't feel like going shopping, which I always did because the dressing rooms up in Jersey are still closed. The most stores, you can't try anything on and I don't feel like shopping.
Yeah. I mean, you could always order it online.
I know, but instead, I like to try things on and feel the material it's made of. And
before your purchase.
Exactly.
I guess I'm trying to think of what I did today. Nothing really. I'm getting ready to come to New York City for a week.
I know. Two more days.
See you and stay in a hotel in New York. Oh, my God. But I'm fully vaccinated. I feel safe. I just read another article saying that any of the variants, if you have the vaccine, the variants will not get you.
Well, let's hope so.
That's what they're saying. So let's hope that they're right.
I know.
Go with science. Hope for the best.
I know. They keep on saying all these good things, and then they say, well, you can still catch the virus even if you're vaccinated.
Yeah, you can get it, but you're not going to get sick.
You will get it. Well,
it's not a force field in a cartoon. You will get it, but you're not going to, nothing's going to happen to you. You might get a cold. That's it.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying.
So anyway, what'd you eat today?
Oh, well, this week I had a very fun item, food item, that I'd never had before, of course, because that's what the podcast is. And I had it with our friend Jen Spira. She used to write on Colbert. You ever watch Stephen Colbert at night?
No, but, you know, I've heard of him, but they're on too late, those shows. I'm sleeping.
Too late. What time do you go to bed?
Well, I usually go to bed about 11.
Wow, that's later than me.
Or 10:30, but I used to go to bed at 9:30 when I had to get up at 5:30, but now I don't get up till near 8, so I go to bed about 11.
Oh, okay. If anybody out there can do the math, you can figure out how long Lois sleeps, depending on when she wakes up and goes to bed.
Exactly.
Thank you. But we did with Jen Spira, and she has a book, a new book out. She wrote a book of short stories. It's called Big Time. It's very
funny.
What is
it about?
It's all different short stories of comedy. Source. They're just funny, funny stories that she has made up in her brain. It's incredible.
Wow.
I know.
Amazing.
She's wonderful. We went to her wedding in Pittsburgh. She's just the best. And we had boba.
What is that? I never heard of it.
Oh, boy. Boba. You never heard of boba?
No. What is it?
Have you heard of bubble tea?
Bubble tea?
Bubble tea.
No.
Boba is a drink, and it has little black balls on the bottom of it, little black pellets almost, and they're tapioca, and it's a sweet, delicious. I had a mango green tea boba drink. It was so good, Mom. It was like tasting perfume or something.
I don't think that's good for my diabetes.
Exactly. You're exactly right. You can't have it because of diabetes, but oh, it was delicious.
I never, ever heard of it. Where did it originate?
It was so good. Taiwan. It's a tea-based drink that originated in Taiwan in the 1980s. It's tea accompanied by chewy tapioca balls or pearls or boba. But it can be made with other toppings.
Wow.
It's so good. I had it with no milk. You can either have milk or no milk. And I had no milk. And I had green tea and mango.
Wow.
It was like tasting perfume. It was so, but it's so sweet. It literally says, if you drink this a lot, you will die of diabetes. Like you can't, you have to watch because it's all sugar based.
Sugar, I can imagine.
But just a sip, you would love it. You think that's something you would enjoy?
I might try that. I mean, a sip, but yeah, I might try that.
Yeah, we don't want
to. I don't know about the tapioca. What else can you put in it?
No, that's the whole thing. That's the boba, is the little tapioca balls.
Tapioca balls.
And then they give you like a big straw. And you suck up the little pellets, and it's delicious. You eat, you know, chew them. It's very good.
Where did you get this?
Here. They have a million bubble tea places all over.
Oh.
You have it in Lyndhurst, I bet.
I never heard of it, Jim.
Bubble tea. Boba.
I don't know. Boba.
No?
Bubble tea. I never heard of it, so I don't know. They probably do have it at Lyndhurst, but I don't know where.
Yeah, it's like a sweet kind of desserty drink. Do you like other kind of dessert drinks?
Like a ice cream soda. ice cream soda.
When's the last time you had an ice cream soda?
Oh god,
well, not ice cream. What do they call root beer float?
And there's ice cream sodas, root beer floats, all kinds of dessert drink malts, frosties. I like all that. I like all that stuff.
I like a root beer float. I haven't had those in a long time.
Probably get that at Shake. Can't you get that at Shake Shack?
I don't think they have root beer float. Well, maybe. I don't know. I'm not sure. I never got one at Shake Shack. They have, I think they call them concretes, where they're like a thick, thick ice cream.
With stuff
in them. Oh, it's so good.
I know. I love ice cream.
But you got to watch. You have ice cream now with your diabetes?
Yeah, I do. Oh. They have less sugar. I don't have a lot, one scoop where I would have about three or four or five scoops.
Whoa,
just one
five?
Scoop. No, not really. Oh. But I used to put walnuts on it and whipped cream and syrup.
Walnuts and whipped cream you could still put on if you have diabetes. Whipped cream has almost no sugar in it because it's all.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's
so
all
that
yeah.
you can have.
I know, but I haven't had one on ice cream sundae and since I don't know when.
Just no syrup.
I know, but when the kids have parties, they only like the Carvel cakes with the crunch. Mm. So I have vanilla and chocolate ice cream with the crunch.
Very good with the little crunchies in it.
Yeah, that's it. They love those cakes.
What's your favorite flavor of ice cream?
Chocolate. I just like chocolate. Chocolate.
That's it?
Just plain chocolate, yeah. I like chocolate chip mint, but chocolate is my favorite.
Do you like a rocky road, a chocolate chip?
Yeah, I like chocolate, and I like chocolate marshmallow. I like, what else? I like chocolate chip mint. I just had that last week. I don't know, but I like chocolate the best, just plain old chocolate.
You don't like a butter pecan?
Yeah, I like it. I like what, maple walnut? I mean, I like them all, but you said my favorite.
Do you like a sherbet?
Yeah, I like sherbet. That's got a lot of sugar, too.
I remember when I was a kid, you used to cut up a whole cantaloupe, and we used to eat it.
Mmm, delish.
Tons of sugar, though.
Cantaloupe?
Oh, don't you think that has a ton of sugar in a cantaloupe? Of course.
I don't know. Oh. I haven't had one of those because, was it last year? I couldn't find one good cantaloupe. They taste like dirt.
Oh boy, cantaloupe shortage.
I love them, and they taste like dirt. They were disgusting.
Oh boy.
So I didn't buy them like I usually buy them in May, June, July. I didn't buy them anymore. Like the whole month of August, I didn't buy any because they tasted, I don't know. I have no idea.
Last year, you mean during the pandemic?
No, the year before. No, so last year I didn't have one last year. I didn't have any last year either.
Well, last year was 2020.
Yeah.
And the year before that was 2019.
No, I'm talking about 2020.
Oh, well, there was a pandemic. Maybe that's why they didn't taste very good.
I don't know. They're disgusting.
Well.
As little Violet says, that's disgusting.
Well, what are you going to do? I mean, there was a worldwide pandemic. I don't really know where cantaloupes come from. Do you?
No.
Well.
No, I don't.
Wherever they came from, maybe they had a problem shipping them in.
Well, shipping them in or something.
Yeah,
but
that's
good.
A very sugary.
They have no, and they so does watermelon, I think, have a lot of sugar.
Yeah, I like watermelon.
Yeah, I like watermelon, too.
We used to have that when we were kids. Watermelon, cantaloupe, all the high sugar. I mean, pineapple, oh my God. It's like, you might as well have a Snickers bar.
Yeah, oh, Snickers is my favorite.
Oh, it's no wonder why this woman has diabetes.
Well,
I wonder if either of your parents had diabetes.
My father and my grandfather, but my father's went away.
Oh.
Would you believe that? Yeah, he had it when he was young, and then he didn't. When he got older, he didn't have it anymore.
Oh, wow. Maybe that'll happen to me.
My father's father had diabetes, and his two sisters
all
had diabetes.
Yes.
But his other brother, Uncle Joey, he didn't have it. Would you believe that?
Wow.
Three out of four of them had it.
And what did your aunts and uncles do?
What do you mean?
Do you remember for like a living?
My grandfather, I mean, he lived to be 92. He was a mason when he was a big man. But the aunts, they worked like in the sewing shops in those days. They worked in the sewing shops.
Didn't you buy some land in Arizona or something once?
Yeah, we still have it. It's worth like nothing.
Why did you buy it?
We just got married. I don't know, but it's, I don't know if it's 2 hours from Vegas or whatever. They were supposed to build on it, but they never did. But still there.
You should sell it. I bet you could get something for it
now. It's not worth anything.
Well, when this podcast is over, you should give me the address and I'll tell you what it's worth.
It's worth nothing because the taxes are like $6 or $8 or something ridiculous.
Yeah, but maybe somebody else will buy it.
No, Jim. No, because I think it was supposed to like land be developed, but it was never developed, so it's not worth anything. Yeah.
How much did you pay for it? Do you remember?
Oh, we didn't pay. Yeah, it was like $1,200.
Oh, boy.
At that time, I'm 19 in the 70s.
That sounds like a lot of money.
Well, whatever.
Not a good investment, I guess. Still waiting for that development 50 years later.
Later, right.
50 years you're married.
I know, and it's on a Sunday, and that's when we got married on Sunday.
Oh, wow. And where was your reception? It wasn't at the Fiesta.
No, the Wayne Manor.
Oh, is that still there?
Yes, it's still there in Wayne.
Wow. And who paid for the wedding?
My father.
Oh, my God. I wonder how much it cost back then.
I don't know, but we had, you know, we had the cocktail hour and the Venetian table and dinner.
What's a Venetian table?
That's all desserts. Oh. All different desserts and ice cream. All kinds of pastries, cookies, everything. It's called the Venetian table. It was cool. I don't know what they're calling
like
now.
Diabetes Central. Did you have a sit-down dinner or a buffet?
Yes.
And what was the dinner? Do you remember? Chicken, beef?
You had a choice. Yeah, I know there was prime rib. There was probably some kind of chicken. I don't remember, Jim. I just know prime rib.
How many people did you have?
Over 200.
Oh, my God.
Because all of our friends.
Your father must have been pissed. 200.
Over 200 people. I think it was 220-something. No, it was fun.
And you had all your bridesmaids in different colors, right?
Right, yeah.
And with top hats. Now, why did you choose a top hat?
Just to be different.
Wow. Did anybody make fun of you or resist that idea of top
no.
hats and also different
we
colors?
We had the hats made in this. No. We had the hats made in the city, and I had to give the lady who made the hats, she owned a millinery shop, and I had to send her a picture of all the hats because she did all the hats.
That's exciting. And do you still have your wedding dress?
Yeah, up in the attic, but
you should put it on for your 50th anniversary.
Wear it to your roadies.
Wear it to the party.
Right.
We're having a get together at my aunt's condo with all the family. Everybody's vaccinated. Everybody's 75 and over, and everybody's vaccinated, so we can all get together, like 8 or 9 of us. You should wear your dress.
Oh, yeah.
Why don't you bring out your top hat at least?
No, I don't know where that
is. I think you should actually wear your top hat. That would be very funny.
I know, but who's going up in the attic?
I'll go up and get it. That's funny.
I don't even know where it is up there.
Well,
I don't even know if
it's
still there.
Start thinking about it. You have a week.
I might have thrown it out.
You didn't throw it out.
I don't know. I might have,
Your wedding dress top hat? It is not thrown out.
It might be.
I'm going to have to post a photo on the Instagram. You have to send me a picture of you in the top hat.
I don't think I even have it anymore.
No, like an old wedding photo.
No. No. Asking me to stop playing.
You won't send me a wedding photo?
Nope.
Oh, my God. I think you should wear the top hat to your party. That's a good idea.
All right, I'll look for it.
And you know, Aunt Rhody said she wants you to bring pictures.
Oh, yeah, her and her pictures. She loves pictures. She loves to be photographed. We are like direct opposites.
I think she likes to walk down memory lane.
Yeah.
Because she always says to me, "Do you remember my father?" She always says, "Do you remember my mother?" She always wants to remember, you know, walk down memory lane.
Yeah. Well, when you get old, that's what you do.
I like to do that, too. That's why I have friends that are my friends for 20 years, you know. That's what you do. You reminisce about when you were younger and nothing mattered.
I know. You had no worries, fancy free.
Yeah, that's it. What are you doing this week? Anything exciting?
No, I'm watching my grandchildren. That's about
Good.
It.
Good. Watching This Is Us? Is This Is Us happening?
No, I don't watch. I told you I don't watch that anymore.
Now, what about Sunday, the Oscars?
Oh, I'm not watching
After your party, you could watch the Oscars. No.
I'm not interested.
Oh. You're not into Hollywood movies?
No.
The stars?
There was a time when me and Daddy first got married, we saw like every movie that was nominated.
Yeah.
Now I see none of them. I couldn't care less.
You could watch them all on Netflix, or I could send you a screener.
I know.
We get all the screeners.
I know. We have Netflix, but I'm not interested. Really.
You don't watch movies ever, do you?
No.
TV short.
Once
TV
in a while, if there's nothing to watch, I put on the Hallmark Channel.
Oh, people love
watch
those movies in Lifetime.
Yeah.
You ever watch Lifetime?
No, I used to, but no more now. Wow. I'm usually watching, you know, Home and Gardens or Live in Alaska or Buy in Alaska or Buy Mega Mansions, these people.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, I just want to know, how's the air fryer? Did you use it yet?
No, this is what happened. We were going to use it Saturday, but you need a thermometer, and we had one, and Daddy doesn't like it, and he put it, I don't know where he put it, in the garage, so we got to get another thermometer. I don't know why he didn't like the one we have.
A thermometer, you mean like for chicken?
A meat thermometer. Oh. Yeah, or for whatever. So, yeah, but we did, we were going to use it.
Oh, well, then get Daddy a thermometer. The, we have
we
one.
Will when he goes to ShopRite. I know. I don't know why. I had a nice one, and I don't know. He didn't like it. I don't know what
like,
he did with
I've
it.
Never heard of anybody not liking a meat thermometer. What's not to like?
I know.
You stick it in I the know. Meat, you look at the meat number, you go, oh, it's done. That's it. What's not
I
to
know.
Like?
I don't
know. You know what I mean? It's not
I
a Broadway
understand.
Show or
That's
a television.
That's what I said.
It's a meat thermometer. It's not wallpaper. I don't like that wallpaper. It's a thermometer. You stick it in. You look at the number. Oh, it's 250 inside.
I
okay,
know.
We could eat it. And that's it. What's not to like?
I know. He didn't. I don't know.
That
There's
is
something.
Very
I don't know
odd.
What he was saying. He is very odd.
Well.
That was whatever.
Weird. Whatever. All right, Mom. Have a great week.
All right, stay safe, and I'll see you soon. Looking forward.
Bye.
The Baby Mouth theme song is performed by me and was written by me and Jesse Vargas. Jesse also orchestrated, recorded, and mixed the song. The Baby Mouth artwork was created by Tim Quartier. You can follow the Baby Mouth podcast on Instagram and Twitter at Baby Mouth Pod. Tell me about your own personal food nightmare. Have you ever been forced to eat something horrible at a fancy party or on a first date? Is there a food you're afraid to try? I want to know all about your scary food experiences. Email me at babymouthpodcast@gmail.com. Don't forget to listen and subscribe to Baby Mouth wherever you get your podcasts. And please, don't forget to leave a review. Baby Mouth!